enjoying the miracle. I certainly am. And I thank those who have invited me because it stretches me. It makes me study a lot. And today we're going to be talking about the 10 lepers. And it's a very interesting one. So if you would be so kind and turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And I think we're going to have a wonderful time in Luke chapter 17. I have a couple of clips, videos here just to get the message across. As I always say, I do anything to get the message across. I've even stood on my head in the pulpit and spit nickels. But I won't do that now. That was about 40 years ago. So we won't do that because I probably wouldn't be back. So follow along as we look at my follow along as we look at this. All along in the Bible.
Chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Jesus and his disciples were on the way to Jerusalem and had reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As Jesus entered the village, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus looked at them and said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." The local priest was the person who examined people to see whether they had leprosy. As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, a Samaritan man, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. Jesus asked, "Didn't I have 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Jesus then said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Through this story, Jesus is asking us to be thankful. We should pray and give thanks to God for all blessings, like the one leper who came back and thanked Jesus.
I hope that helps us get the message across a little bit better. And I'm hoping that we can get a real idea of the whole situation. So I'm just going to get the other view here. Excuse me. I thought I had it right there. So here's the trip they made. As it says in the verse, in the Word of God here, it says, while he was on his way to Jerusalem, so Jesus with his disciples were on the move, so we're going to be traveling a bit today, so I hope you've got some walking shoes on, because we're going to travel between Jerusalem. He was passing between Samaria and Galilee. Now, the idea of this is very interesting. So here we find that he could have gone straight. Notice on the left there, it has on the going straight to the trip, but they didn't do that way. He went around. Notice what it says in the Bible on the right side there. They went on the border. On the border. So that gives us an inkling of what is going on here, and I'm sure that you'll understand why as we go on and as we look at it and as we study it. A very interesting note here is that Samaria was a very interesting place, and we're going to be talking about that as we go along. It's exactly from here, from there to here, was about 90 miles, but from the way they went was 120. Instead of going 90 miles, They went 120. That's on the other side of hope, isn't it? So that's a long way to walk. And the reason they did, you're going to say, why? Well, two reasons. One, there was a lot of racial unrest between the Samaritans and the Jewish. That's, we'll talk a little bit of that as we go along. But also, if you notice the mountain range here. So they went down to the valley here, and they went down the valley, down here, and into Jerusalem. And as I said, the conditions and the racial hatred had something to do with it. Not with Jesus. I wrote my thesis, actually, on which I'll talk about a little later on when I got my doctorate, Running the Race Without Racism. That means I showed from Matthew to Revelation there was no racism in the mind of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There was no problem between races with Jesus. So if you're a Canadian, praise God. If you're Korean, praise God. If you're Chinese, praise God. There's no difference. And Christianity is not a North American religion. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And there was no racism between Jesus and the Samaritans. Even to the Jewish people, there were a lot of racism. So he didn't go there, as I said, because of the mountain range there, which he took what is called the Jericho Road. Welcome. I hope this is interesting for you. Good to have the kids here. Yes, Samaria. Very interesting, the Samaritan. Jesus, as I said, was on the move since chapter 9, verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Jesus has moved, and his focus is ministry in the south of Galilee. And here he goes along the border. Now, the Samaritans are very interesting. Because, you know, when you read in the Bible, it says in the Word of God, "Go ye to all the world and preach the gospel." But in Acts chapter 1, which is one of my wife and my main verses in our life, people say, "Well, why did you go to Quebec? Why did you go to Argentina? Why did?" Because it says here in chapter 1 of Acts, verse 8, "And when you receive power from the Holy Spirit that has come unto you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem." And my wife and I, we practiced being witnesses in Jerusalem. We were in Union Gospel Mission, Central City Mission, Harbor Light Mission. We were all over with our relatives on both sides. And that's what Jerusalem is. Your Jerusalem here is your family, your relatives, your friends, your close family in Jerusalem. And then in Judea is sort of on the outside of it. And that's what my wife and I did. We used to go to mission and preach, and we went to Calgary and preach. And then notice what it says here, and Samaria. And we wanted to produce, or we wanted to try to, in our own little way, to obey this. So we went to La Belle Province de Quebec, our Samaria, for 12 years. And then, of course, it says, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And that's why we went to Argentina. So maybe you didn't know that. But that's why we spent those, the time in Quebec and the time in Argentina. So Samaria, it was just another province. Not necessarily it was a problem province. Even though when we went to Quebec in 1967, they spat on my face and told me, "Mon Dieu, les patachez-vous." That's what they said to me. And but of course today you don't say things like that because you go to prison. But anyway, so here we have a little bit of the outline. Jesus and his disciples are going along, and so they're going down to the Jordan, down past Samaria, past there, and going around and down to the south. Leprosy, I didn't know we were going to have children here. I'm sorry, I hope they don't mind me showing this. I thought the children in Sunday school, it's very horrible. I know it, I see your faces, and I'm sorry about that in a way, but leprosy was a terrible, terrible disease in the time of Jesus. There was no cure in biblical times. Today we call it something like Hansen's disease. And there are preventives now, and there are ways of getting around it now. And it was people with this infected disease, the fingers would fall off, the hand would fall off, and it was a terrible, terrible disease in the time of Jesus. And we're going to see that these people were outcast, completely outcast to the society. They weren't allowed to. And we see here that they would have to walk down the street, unclean, 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 and they'd have to yell that out, and they have to keep a certain distance between them and other people. That's why we find the scripture here, when it says very clearly in Luke chapter 17, let's look at that again, Luke 17, because if it's not in the Bible, we don't want to spend our time or your time looking at anything, but look at chapter 17 there, and it talks about the lepers, and it says here, as he entered the village, he was still on the outskirts of the village. See, the lepers were not allowed to go into the city. As they were coming towards the city, as they were entering the village, 10 lepers who stood at a distance, notice, they stood at a distance because they had to have, be dressed specially, they had to have rags on, and they had to be all covered up, and they actually did smell in those days. And notice there was 10 of them. And people say to me, well, when I was studying this last week and I was talking to everybody about it, of course, that's not what I always do when I'm doing an essay. I talk to people about it. They say, well, why was a Samaritan with the others? Well, birds of a feather flock together. Is that not what we say in English? So, I mean, it wouldn't matter if you're a Jewish, a Samaritan, a Gentile, or anything. If you had leprosy, you would get together with the lepers. And that's why they were together. And to touch a leper was to defile Jewish law. It was worse just about to touch a leper than a dead person. And the lepers were a disease that if you came within a certain distance, you would be unclean. And there was no hope. No hope. So here we have the 10 lepers. Now, there's two other examples in the Word of God about leprosy. The two other examples. And the first one was Miriam. Notice what it says in Numbers chapter 2, verse 12, verse 9. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. Because Miriam talked against Moses. She talked against God's servant, and God struck her with leprosy. This is the first mention of leprosy in the Bible. And notice what it says in verse 11 here. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us," in which he was scared that the whole bunch of them were going to have leprosy. But so he says, "In which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned." So here we have Aaron admitting his sin, confessing his sin, realizing that if he doesn't confess his sin, he's going to become a leper also. "Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when it comes out of his mother's womb." So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "Please hear me, O God, I pray." Then the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had not spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after she might be received again." So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. So here we have that terrible disease cast upon Miriam because she was talking against God's servant. Now, who was the other one? Come on now. Kids in Sunday school. Do you remember? Do you know? Who was the other person in the Old Testament that got leprosy? I heard that story a million times when I was a kid. Who was it? Naaman. Naaman. General of the army of Aram. A heathen from Damascus. There he is. And remember the story about that? It was so wonderful. He went to the prophet, Elijah. Elijah said, "Go down to the river and dunk yourself 7 times in the Jordan River." And Naaman said, "Well, isn't there a nicer river? It's like me to say, you go down to the Fraser River, and dunk yourself 7 times and you're going to be healed." praise the rich river, the money, praise the, who wants to dunk themselves seven times? But he did what God told him to do, and voila. As you can see on the your right side here, he comes up the seventh time. He meant one. Not two. Yeah. Three. Nothing. Six times, nothing happened. He came up the seventh time, and he was healed. God is a God of compassion. So these are two examples of leprosy we have in the scripture. Now, when John, his disciples, they went to Jesus, we find in the Word of God in Luke chapter 7, 22, and Jesus told the disciples of John to go back to John and tell him something. Because the disciples of John went to Jesus and said, Jesus, are you the real one? Are you the real deal? Are you really, really the Messiah? Are you really Son of God? And look at your Bibles there. Look at verse 22, Luke 7, 22. Luke 7, 22. Let's look it up in the Bible here. Luke 7, 22. 7, 22. And he asked them and said, go and report to John what you have heard. What you have heard. The blind receive sight. And so here they are. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. The lepers were cleansed. These are just some of the miracles that you're studying. And the dead were raised from the dead. I mean, the dead heard and raised from the dead. These are just some of the wonderful miracles that Jesus did. And as I said, there are 37, 38 of them in the New Testament. And Jesus healed the blind, had the lame walk, cleansed the lepers, the deaf heard, and even raised the people from the dead. So this is pretty exciting. This is what he's talking about. So here we have, in chapter 17, go back to Luke 17, verse 2. Now, it would be 17, verse 12. Sorry. Here we are. And he entered the 10 men stood at a distance to him. So here we have Jesus and in front of 10 lepers. Now, very interesting. You've got your Bible open, boys. Can you help me? I forget quite easy. I'm an old man. What does it say there in verse 12? I need to help something. I need to go to 12. Luke 12, 17, 12. Look at that. I was reading this over and I said, wow. They weren't really, they wanted anything. They lived outside of the city. And in that time, some of the parents, relatives, would come up with food, put down at a distance, and go back, and the lepers would go get the food. But what they were looking for here, if you look, and you look at the original and so on, they were looking for pity. They were looking for food because, see, they were untouchable. They were unclean. And being outside of the village would be a commonly thing to see a leper outside of the city begging. And they just wanted anything. And since they had no land, no title, no livestock to look after, they were dependent upon others. They were just looking for a freebie, a handout. Now, we have a lot of people asking for freebies here in Vancouver in the corner of Boundary Canada Way, and there's always but we are very fortunate here in Canada. We have the Uni Gospel Mission, Central City Mission, Harbor Light Mission. We have all of the things that the people really want help in get help. I go downtown quite often because I have a nephew living down in Skid Row, so I go down there and get food sometimes and so on. It's quite a and I've walked amongst all these people that, you know, and they like that lifestyle. They want to like that. A lot of them do. But here, these men, they want to pay. And they're crying out to Jesus, saying, as our young men told us here, have pity. Master, have mercy. Have pity on us. Very interesting. Very interesting. But God is one of compassion. And Jesus, Master, have pity on us. That's what they were looking for. They wanted pity. They wanted food. They wanted something, anything to help them. And that's the thing that they wanted most. But notice they're at a distance. That's very important to understand. They're at a distance. They call out. They call him Master, which is very interesting. See, they must have heard about Jesus. See, because he was afar off. They saw him coming. They yelled for pity. Then they realized who he was. This was the Lord Jesus. And he had done miracles. And I mean, I'm sure the news got around. Some versions say, teacher, teacher, rabbi. And it was a familiar cry. It was a well-known cry. And they were just looking for something, anything. And what did Jesus say to them? Now, this is so interesting. And this is the message for me personally, and I think for all of us. Because it says here in chapter 17, notice what it says. And he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. Go and show yourself to the priest. So here we have it. And they raised their voices, saying, Master, Jesus, Master, Teacher, Rabbi, have mercy on us. And he, Jesus, said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. Do you think they healed? What do you think, boys? What do you think, ladies? Do you think they were healed at that time? And they raised their voice. And when he said to them, go and show yourself, you think at that time, go, you can't. Because notice what it says a little bit later on. And they were going, and they were cleansed. They were going. I love it. I personally do not believe they were healed right then. They were going, and as they were going, you look at the Greek and study it, as they were moving along, whoa! Look at my hand, okay? My head. Hey, George, look at your faces. Look, Henry, look at me. That's exciting. Because when you read that, when he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest, and as they were going, they were cleansed. Oh, I love that. I love that. So what they had to do, they had to go to these priests in the village. Because remember, they were outside their village, and they were healed, and they had to go to the priest, and they had to show themselves to the priest. Now, I really believe it's an act of faith, which we're going to talk about. When he said to them, go show yourself to the priest, and they went and were clean. The word show in the Greek means cause to be seen. They had to go to the priest. That was the time, we heard that in some of your other miracles, of course, that was to prove it. They would examine them. That's what happened last week, if you remember. They didn't want to recognize the person being healed because they were healed by Jesus and they didn't believe in Jesus. And the priest, it was Jewish law. See, these lepers weren't allowed in the synagogue. They weren't even in worship. They couldn't even worship. The Jewish lepers couldn't go to the synagogue. But Jesus tells them, go, and as they were going, and that is pretty exciting. Can you see them running down there? Can you see them running? Hey, my arm's okay. Hey, look at my fingers, I'm okay. Look at they work. Look at, and I can just see them running down. Excited about it. That's interesting. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And that talked to me about keeping the law, keeping the thing straight. I mean, there's a lot of things I disagree with in Vancouver, but we do have to render to Caesar that which is Caesar, and to God what is God. And Jesus was showing them that they had to go to the priest, and I think that's good. And as they went, they were cleansed. Are you with me on this? Are you getting excited? I am, sorry. And maybe I shouldn't be getting excited, but I'm excited to see that these guys were obedient. Obedient. To Jesus, and they were healed. And what would happen if they said, well, he's telling us to go to the priest, but look, because it says, as they were going. So that means when he said that, they looked at their hands, they weren't healed yet. They had to take that step of faith. Take that step of faith. And I think that's pretty exciting for all of us to understand. Obedience. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were obedient. We've got to be obedient. Sometimes it's hard. As I said, we were trying to accomplish Acts chapter 1 and 8. And I had trouble in school, as I've told you before, in grade 2, 4, and 8. I passed in trial in grade 8. I passed twice. Had a terrible time in school. Terrible time. And even today, you see how I read, and you see the problems I have in English. And God said to my wife and I, go to Quebec. Well, no way, Jose. Quebec, in a sense, it was a Samaria to us. In a sense, it wasn't really where we wanted to go, but that's where God led us. And we got in that little Acadian, and we got in the car, and we cried all the way to Hope. For me to leave my assembly was just heartbreaking. For my wife to leave her family was just cruciating. But we went, and God blessed our ministry. But we had to go, as I said before, in many acts of our life, we have to be obedient. And if you are obedient, then you'll have success. Now, I enjoyed Brian, is he here? No, he's down there. Correct? I enjoyed what he said this morning. He said, you look at the creation, but a lot of times we forget the creator, right? You look at the painting. Oh, a beautiful painting. Wow. But you don't think of the painter. Now, when I prepare a message, I listen to 3 or 4 or 5 messages. And I read 5 or 6 messages. So thank for Brian. I like that. You got to look at the artist, not just the art. Well, I found this. It's only 1 minute clip, but I love it. Because this guy is saying, stop looking at the blessing and look at the blessing. Are you ready for it? This kind of preaching you might not like, but oh, I love it. Okay, you ready?
Stop looking at the blessing and look at the blessing. There are so many times that when we get blessed, we look at the blessing, look at the blessing, and say, thank you for the blessing. And then I stop looking at the blessing. The same thing with the 10th. The 10th, 11th, and we're thanking God. Right? Thank you for the blessing. Not the one who thanked for the blessing. One went back and gave praise. And that's what that is. Come on, Luke chapter 17.
So the preacher here is saying, stop looking at the blessing and look at the blesser. There was 10 lepers, and they all first off were looking at the blessing. I'm healed, hallelujah, and off they went. But one of them looked at the blessing. Oh, I like that. I like that story. That's cool. Anyway, thankful Samaritan. And we talked a little bit about the Samaritans and how you know, we read in chapter a little earlier in Luke about the good Samaritan. And now we read about the Samaritan that is thankful. And you can see these guys, and again, I'm an image person. Look at these guys running down. They're so happy. They've had a blessing. They're looking at the blesser. But where is the blesser? We look at creation. I was there yesterday too, an English day. I didn't stay for the fireworks. It's too late for me. And I want to go over my message 5 or 6 more times. But I was down at English Bay, and all those people were crowding around. And I sat down at English Bay, and I looked out there at all those boats waiting for the fireworks. And I was looking at all the ships coming in to unload and praying for them. And I was looking at the beautiful mountains over here, and I was looking at the clouds. But I did thank the Creator, not just the creation. And we must stop looking just at the blessings and thank God. So the whole message is a thankful message. And here we have the Samaritan. He's coming back. He comes back and he actually falls at Jesus' feet. Isn't that something? He falls at Jesus' feet. He recognizes who Jesus is. Now this is going to be very interesting because I've gone over and over this. So each one of them examining themselves, they see that the hand is soft and even. They see that all the scales have fallen off their face. celebrating, but one of them, when he saw he was healed, and came back, praised God in a loud voice, and threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. We find the 9 of them yelling out to Jesus, "Have pity on me! Have pity on us!" But when Jesus gave them pity and healed them, they didn't yell back to him and say, "Thanks, Jesus." No, only one of them. Only, and he said it with a loud voice. I like that. One of them, when he was healed, came back praising God with a loud voice. Oh, boy. That's interesting. Notice the loud voice in verse 15. The leper had called out loudly to have mercy. And this leper comes back. And he comes back with the whole idea of thank you, God. And he falls at Jesus' feet. Oh, how we should fall at Jesus' feet and thank him. We should show him our adoration. That's why I enjoy the Lord's Supper. That's why I enjoy coming here, because of the beautiful singing and just sitting there meditating and praying and lifting the name of the Lord up. Some people say, why don't you participate more? I'm just sitting there enjoying it. And I should get up more often, of course, also. But they were thankful and grateful to Jesus for saving them. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was there. Threw himself. And it's interesting to look at the word "threw." I'm not going to go over all the Greek here, but it's very good. Thanks. He thanked him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. We are to thank God. We are to praise God. We are to give him our, not just give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, but we are to thank him. Jesus said, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was not one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And that's very interesting, because if you look at that in the text and everything else, Jesus is sort of, said, well, what's going on here? What's the program? I healed 10, and yet only one of you come back. Where are the other 9? I'm thankful. They were unthankful. But at least one came back and gave us this message. Your faith has made you whole. What is he saying here? He was already whole, wasn't he? He was healed. He came back to thank Jesus for healing him. But here it says, your faith. See, this is where I believe he becomes a Christian. This is where I think he becomes born again. This is where I think he comes to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ really was. He was healed. Then it says, it came back, your faith has made you whole. Verse 19. Notice that beautiful verse, your faith. And Jesus answered and said, where? There are not 10 cleansed, but the 9. Where are they? Was not one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner or this stranger, it says in other versions? And he said to them, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. And that's because I believe he fell at Jesus' faith, giving thanks to him, glorifying God. And God blesses him. God saves him. We can thank God for all the different miracles in our life, but we got to thank God for Jesus who performs those miracles for us. You know, after 9/11, it was amazing. And I read a lot about this just to get this one little point across. There were so many people turn to God, believe it or not, after 9/11. Because of that. They looked at the creator of heaven and earth and they realized that all things work together. But there's action too. Faith and action. Action and faith. And the same thing here is go. If Jesus tells you to go, you've got to go. We were in Quebec for 4 beautiful years. I was from Quebec. I learned French. I was more French-Canadian than French-Canadians. They called me André Van Ville. They said that I was Jean-Pierre Ronaldo, that's what they call me. Because I never talked to my kids in English, I always talked to them in French. For 12 years I was in the French country. And then he tells me about Argentina. Look, I say, what's going on? I had a hard enough time learning English. I had a hard enough time learning Greek and Hebrew. I had a hard enough time learning French. And now Spanish and Espanol. But I have to go. You have to do what God wants you to do. If your money where your mouth is. Well, I don't know how to express it publicly. But anyway, you understand what I mean. Gratitude. Gratitude. I believe God, Jesus, was actually waiting for some type of gratitude in a sense, because he was wondering where were the other nine. But it's the whole thing of thanks and gratitude. Let's pray. Then we're going to sing a song together. Yeah, I'm not going to sing. Don't worry, because you can rush out of here. And I still have two more minutes. And, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song, and then you can leave as you feel led. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this exciting miracle, Lord. Every miracle is exciting. Every miracle has a different twist to it, and every miracle has something to teach us. So we just pray, Heavenly Father, that we might be thankful for what we have and what we're getting from you daily. We thank you especially for salvation. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for friends. We thank you for this chapel. We thank you for the camp ministry. We pray for those up at Camp Morningstar and so on, and Father, and Camp Timothy. But we praise you, first of all, for these camps that boys can come to form and hear about Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you.
Holy One, give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His all. And all let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done.